Do you believe there's reward after one gets to heaven? You know, some people believe that if I just get there, that'll be enough. I remember talking to a man one time about this, and he said, well, I'm not concerned about reward. If I just make it, if I just get there, that'll be enough for me. We're going to look at a parable today that Jesus told years ago where he talks about this matter of reward, and it's in Luke chapter 19. And I'm going to begin reading with verse 12. Therefore he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Master, your mina has gained 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. The second came to him, saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Master, here is your mina, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief, for I feared you, because you are an austere man. You collect what you did not deposit, and reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit, and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that at my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him, give it to the one who has 10 minas. But they said to him, Master, he has 10 minas. For I say to you, that to everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even that which he has will be taken away from him. But bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, and slay them before me. The King James calls this the parable of the pounds. And the unit of money that's involved here is called a mina, and is a certain amount of money, probably equivalent to 3 months' wages. So we could say it's possibly equivalent to about $2,000 or better today. Now let's look at the parable. Interesting, Jesus talks here about a man who he says is a nobleman, a well-born man, who goes into a far country to get a kingdom. Now, this happened many times with Rome. Rome would have various political persons, those who were aspiring to office, who would come to Rome, and they would try to get the approval of Rome. And then they would go back to their country and reign under Rome with Rome's authority behind them. And Herod the Great did this. In 40 B.C., he was proclaimed king of the Jews by the Roman Senate. He went back to Palestine, and then he subjugated the land. He defeated his rivals, and the reign of his then came into power. So that this was a very common thing that Jesus is talking about. So this man goes to get a kingdom, but before he goes, he has 10 servants. He calls those 10 servants and he gives them an equal amount of money. We'll say today it's an equivalent of about 3 months' wages for a laboring man. And this then would be equivalent to, we'll say, $2,000 to $3,000. So each man now has this money. Then after a while, the servants, as the servants have opportunity, they're working. And then it says after a long time, this man returns. He's gotten the kingdom. He's been given this position now. He calls his servants. He says, okay, what did you do with the money I left you? He takes up accounts with them. He says, I gave you this money to use while I was gone. Did you use it? What did you do with it? And they come to him, and one comes to him and says, well, look, mine has gained 10 times as much. It really worked. He used it well. 10 times as much. If it was $2,000, he had $20,000. And the master is very pleased. He says, well, you did a good job. I'm going to put you, because now I'm king, I'm going to give you authority over 10 cities. You're going to reign under me because you've proven you're very faithful and diligent. Another one comes to him and he says, well, look, I've gained 5. In other words, it would be, if it's $2,000 he started with, he had $10,000. And so each one here then has gained a money. He has been faithful. And finally he comes to one servant. He's taking up accounts with each of them. Finally comes to one. And this one says, well, look, I knew you were a hard man, and I was afraid of you, and so I just hid it. I put it in a handkerchief, and I put it away, and I hid it, and here it is. You got it back. This is what you gave me. And the man, who's now king, is very unhappy. He says, well, why didn't you use it? You could have at least put it in a bank, and I would have gotten interest. You neglected to use what I gave you. And he says, take it away from me. Give it to the one who has 10. And then he says, concerning those who hated him, because earlier it says the citizens of the country hated him, and they sent a delegation after him and said, we don't want him to be our king. He said, bring them before me. They're going to be punished. Slay them before me. Bring here those enemies. Now, what's the spiritual meaning of the parable? Interesting, isn't it? Now, it isn't so meaningful to us today because we don't have kings, and kings don't go off into a far country and receive that authority and come back to reign. But in the days of Rome, it was very common. Various men who were leaders in the country would try to gain favor with Rome and be the chosen one to go back with Rome's authority to rule in their own country, because the Roman Empire, of course, spread all around the Mediterranean. And Herod was very effective in doing this and became a very faithful, loyal servant of Rome, and built some magnificent buildings in Jerusalem and in various parts of Palestine. Well, what's the spiritual meaning? Well, let me suggest that certainly the Lord Jesus is saying, I'm the nobleman. I'm the one who is going off into a far country, and I'm going to receive a kingdom. He is a nobleman. He's well born. Galatians 4 says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. He's well born. He's the son of God from heaven. And he's also the son of David. He comes from a royal line. Well born. That's the Lord Jesus. How fitting of him to describe himself this way. He goes to the far country. Of course, he goes back to heaven. He's going to receive authority from his Father, and one day he's coming back to this world, and he's going to reign. He's going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation tells us about the time when the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God. And so the time is coming when he is going to set up his kingdom. In Psalm 110, it speaks of the fact that sit at my right hand until I place your enemies under you. There's a footstool of your feet. So Christ is coming back. He's gone away now. Before he goes, he calls his servants, even as he did with the apostles and the others, and he commissioned them. He gave them responsibility. And he said, I'm going away. Now you be faithful while I'm gone. Now, what does this sum of money represent? We're going to look at another parable where he gives different amounts, but this time he gives the same amount to each of his 10 servants. There's no difference in the amount given, in the amount of money. What is that? What does it represent? Well, may I suggest that perhaps it's a knowledge of Christ that we have. It's the gospel knowledge that we have. And this is the same for every Christian. All Christians do not have the same knowledge of the Word of God as a whole. They're not all equally gifted. But everyone who knows the Lord can say, well, I know how to be saved. I know the gospel. I know what it is to be lost. I know what it is to be saved. I know what it is to know my sins are all forgiven. I know how I passed from death into life. I know how I became saved. And he has this knowledge that God has given him, this precious deposit, as Paul speaks of it to Timothy. He says, to guard that deposit. You have truth. If you're a Christian, if you know your sins are forgiven, if you've ever come to accept Christ as your own personal Savior, there is truth you know. You know the gospel. Maybe there are a lot of things you don't know, but you can say, I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And so all Christians have that same knowledge of truth concerning the way of salvation. And we're expected to use it. We're expected to use it. Not all will be great evangelists. Not all have the same speaking gift. But every one of us can use the knowledge we have of the Lord. We can speak to others. We can be faithful. And as we're faithful, God will bless what he's given us. And some were very diligent. Here is the one who has 10 times as much. He's using what God has given him. And God wants us to do that. Whatever you, your particular gifts are, you know the way of salvation, God wants you to use that and to tell others about him. Now the citizenship would picture the Jews who didn't want him. Who, when Pilate brought him out, they said, we will not have this man to reign over us. And they rejected him. Now, when Jesus comes back, even as this nobleman coming back, when he comes back, he's going to take up account with the servant. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, it says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You, if you're a Christian, are going to stand before him and give an account of your life. What would you have done? And our place in the kingdom, our sphere of authority, our responsibility will depend on how faithful we have been. So there's a real encouragement here to be faithful and to use what we have and to be diligent for the Lord. As you use what you have, it increases, doesn't it? I remember a Christian some years ago, a young Christian telling me, I began to grow when I began to open my mouth, when I began to talk to people about the Lord, when I began to use what I had, then I began to grow. As long as he was silent, as long as he kept his mouth closed, he did not grow. Use the knowledge you have of the Lord. And don't be a lazy servant. Tell others about him. And use what God has given you. And remember, the time is coming when we will give a kind of